This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
As predicted on recent episodes of this show, The Gains Podcast, our financial market analysis has been indicating weakness in stocks. And now we're witnessing the fruition of those predictions. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. We've just wrapped up April, and it's been a rough month for stocks, the worst since September of 2022. And today on the Gains Podcast, we're going to bring on two of our regular guests to recap the softness and discuss what's next. Up first, Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. Well, Jim, always great to have you on the Gains Podcast.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, Jim, it's been a rough month for stocks, so let's start there. Your takeaway.
The takeaway is that we've now had several bad inflation numbers. This morning, it was the employment cost index. Last week, they were the personal consumption expenditures numbers. Before that, the CPI, the PPI. And so what you've basically done is continued to push out the timing of any interest rate cuts. And the market is struggling to adjust to that. On the other side of the coin, the economy has been stronger than expected, and profits so far are holding up. So I suspect that ultimately, if the economy holds up and profits hold up, we can adjust to this new interest rate regime of higher for longer. But the markets are worried that higher for longer may ultimately lead to a softening in the economy. Hence the weakness in stocks in April.
You know, these rate cuts had kind of been baked into the market. So I'm not surprised to see a little pressure, even though some of the reasons behind it are good. Low unemployment rate, tight labor market, some other things. Kind of speak to that.
Yeah, well, the market is adjusting. It wasn't too long ago. They were expecting six or more rate cuts, and we're building assumptions into stock valuations and the economy based on that. And we're now down to basically one cut. And that does two things. It affects stock valuations and increases in chances, however small, that the Fed may end up staying too high for too long and break something in the economy. And so that's what the markets are worried about. I think, tomorrow Powell's press conference is going to be absolutely key, because I am sure that somebody will ask him, what is the possibility that there will be no rate cuts this year? And if he answers affirmatively, that means the markets may have further work to do adjusting to changing interest rate assumptions.
Well, I kind of also feel that we're down today going into that event. We often see maybe a sell-off before a reveal. So it'll be interesting to see how markets take his comments. And then also, corporate profits, not bad here. And I want you to touch on that as well, Jim.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The non-tech corporate profits on balance have 80% have beaten, which is above the long-term average. And then in terms of the vitally important large cap technology stocks, those that have proven that they can monetize AI in addition to investing in it, Microsoft, Alphabet, the profits have been good, and the stocks have responded positively. And tonight, you have the same thing in Amazon. More to come as we roll through, but the economy is strong, profits are strong, AI is secularly driving up the growth rate of the economy and of profits. So I'm not suggesting you get too bearish on the interest rate outlook, because at some point the Fed is more likely to cut than to raise, and if that's accompanied by a strong economy and growing profits, that's fine. As long as inflation stays sideways or moderates, the nightmare scenario is that we're faced with accelerating inflation as we work our way through the year.
Are you buying some of these tech stocks on the dip, or do you think the AI trade is a little overdone?
I think the AI trade is decades long. If you're in the leading companies, I don't think you downgrade and speculate into companies that aren't making money and companies that are just raising capital. But you take the companies, the ones I've just mentioned, they are going to be secular growth companies for the foreseeable future, and they should be bought on any weakness.
Do you dollar cost average into a position like that? Because it sounds like the likes of Microsoft, Nvidia, Alphabet, Amazon, a lot of these high-flying big tech companies. What's your tactic as far as getting in? Do you dollar cost? Do you buy the dip? So what's your tactic there?
It depends on the account and the risk profile of the account, since I'm managing primarily private money and individual accounts. But I would say that even the best companies, when the markets go through a correction or when there's a temporary misperception about the company, such as that which happened with Meta last year, periods of weakness are times to add to the position, as long as you still have room in terms of the percentage of the portfolio that's in those positions. But my message is, by weakness.
And then other areas of the market, where do you see maybe parts of the market that are slightly undervalued or something that you would at least parts of the market you would deploy dry powder at this point?
Yeah, well, you have to say that there is some broadening out going on in the market away from the MAGA 5, 6, or 7, however you want to count them. And so I would say, buying equal-weighted S&P type stocks with an emphasis on infrastructure, healthcare, and energy, and anything that has to do with semiconductors, because that's what's going the growth in AI is going to drive huge moves, a huge demand for the high end of the semiconductor industry. So I think those groups as a package should help you perform absolutely and relatively.
How about on the energy front? And I'm thinking there's obviously some geopolitical risks out there as well right now.
Yeah, well, on the energy front, if you have a stronger than expected economy combined with the geopolitical risk, that means that the most likely next movement is going to be up, not down, in terms of energy prices, and that's how the energy companies make money.
Any other areas of the market that or you want to shy away from right now, something that's been overdone?
What I would say is that the higher for longest interest rate phenomenon is going to be means that companies that have high debt that need to finance are going to have problems. So balance sheet analysis here is key and critical. There are companies that are going to hit the wall as interest rates rise. As interest rates stay high.
Going into the next quarter, thoughts on markets and the trade and where things are headed? How are you positioning yourself?
Well, yeah, the estimates for growth in this quarter are going up. The Atlanta Fed just went up to 3.9%. Goldman just went up to 3.5%. In that environment, profits should be another good quarter in terms of profits. And that goes back to my point, you know, buy on weakness with an emphasis on large cap technology, AI, and supplement it with the other areas that I just mentioned. And in terms of the financials, and some people will ask, it depends on the individual company and how they're positioned. But I would say the regional banks probably have more problems ahead.
What is the number one biggest risk to stocks in the economy right now?
Aside from geopolitical, it's a reacceleration in inflation, because that means that the conversation will become that the Fed may have to raise instead of cutting. And that's a deal breaker in terms of stocks.
Big thanks to Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we're back recapping the softness in stocks. Up next, Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy and Sylvest here in Chicago. Paul, always great to have you on the Gains Podcast.
Always enjoyable being here. Thank
yes.
you so much.
Well, it's been a rough month for stocks, as we mentioned in the lead, and that's where I wanted you to kind of pick up your read on the softness in the markets as of late.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I think almost any down month would have been the worst month since September, because it's been pretty much straight up since the October bottom. And when you take a look at what happened this month and how things unfolded, it's really an interest rate story. You saw interest rates rise across the board as investors started to take off the thought that the Fed would be cutting rates aggressively this year. Most of the first quarter, investors still had the thought that the Fed would be cutting rates. And I think with the inflation data that we've gotten, the employment cost index data, I think a lot of that has come off. Now, GDP came in a little bit weaker, but now you're looking at some earnings pictures and comments out of companies, and they're pointing a little bit weaker economic outlook. But I think inflation is really what's running the show as far as fixed income goes. And I think that's what is putting pressure on equity investors.
Were you surprised that Wall Street misread what the Fed was going to do by so much? They never indicated they were going to go to the degree of cuts that a lot of people on Wall Street were calling for. The data didn't seem to support it for a lot of us on the Gains podcast. And so this isn't a surprise. And now there's concern that, you know, the 6-7 rate cuts had been baked into the market. So your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I think when you take a look at it, you know, one of the things that we've been pointing out is if you take a look at a 5-year bond, for example, it's yielding 4.5%, 4.75%. You take a look at the current PE on the S&P 500, it's 24, 25 times earnings. So you flip that over, you're looking at a 4% equivalent yield. You're getting that in bonds. So I think where rates are today, you're getting good competition for a stock investor because valuations are very expensive at this point. So I think when you're looking at the markets, you're looking at fixed income, you're right. The economic data really never supported it. And I think the markets were just buying into the fact that, you know, hey, rates have been zero for so long and they're here at the stratospheric level of 5%. They have to go back down. And really, when you look historically, the long-term average on the 10-year bond over the entire series is about 4.5%.
Yeah, there's I mean, that's interesting because there was a ton of wishful thinking. And you want to talk about these are more normalized rates if you look historically.
Right. And you look at GDP growth. GDP growth has historically been about 2.5%. That's about where we are. So when you're looking at it through those lenses, when you're looking at the equity market and you look at the PE multiples that are being put on a lot of these companies, the equity market relative to what you could do elsewhere, it's very compelling to be selling those gains that we've gotten since October and putting that money in other parts of the other asset classes
that,
outside of the S&P 500.
That's interesting. So you're thinking more fixed income. What kind of asset classes beyond, say, your good old S&P stocks?
I think certainly the bond market is compelling at this point, and really we're sticking more to the treasury market because we do think that something will break in the economy. It can't persist in this level. So we want the liquidity of a treasury. If you're an equity investor, we think the value side of the equation provides some good long-term returns, and certainly small cap are among the cheapest that they've been since really almost 2000. So from a valuation perspective, I think there's some good places to go outside the S&P 500 and outside a large cap in general.
Well, you mentioned since 2000, and then I think Russell 2000. Those are the kind of stocks that you're talking about that have a bit of catch up to do. Thoughts on some of those smaller cap stocks, maybe an idea or two that you like in that space?
Well, really, I mean, we don't pick individual stocks in that space. It's just if we're picking individual stocks, we tend to stick to the large cap value side. But if you're looking at small cap, I think really more the value side. So if you want to look at a long-term performance for small cap value, market multiples there are 8 to 10, maybe 12 times earnings. They have been very neglected. So they tend to have a little bit more financial bend to them. So you tend to see a little bit more banking. So you may have to do some homework if you want to stay away from the financials. There are a lot of values to be seen outside of or within the Russell 2000.
How much downside risk do you see here, as we move forward? You know, we've had a bit of a pullback off those recent all-time highs. And is there more to give, or where are you on where we're at technically?
We're down about 5%, 6% from the peak. Last year, we saw a drawdown of 13%. So we could easily see that. And then historically, you see a 10 to 15% decline every year to 18 months or so. But if you want to take a look at earnings and say, okay, we're going to have $200 per share on the S&P 500. Normal range or average for that PE is about 18. So now you're looking at 3,600 on the S&P 500 using that multiple. Want to be a little generous and say maybe we get to 220. Now you're looking at maybe 4,000 on the S&P 500, and we're still hanging around close to 5,000. So 20% is not out of the question to get a market that would be more in a normal range, again, given the interest rate environment that we're in.
And what kind of like energy and some of those dividend paying stocks, would that be a play in that type of environment? I'm sensing that you're going to see some further weakness here, and this might be an opportunity to pick some stuff on the cheap.
I think so. And I think there's certainly in the industrial sector, the energy sector, basic materials, we're seeing some of those values starting to pop up a little bit more now than we have over the last 3-4 months. Again, you know, we would be downweighting technology because of the valuations, and we would probably be upweighting a little bit more in the healthcare area, consumer staples. Those types of companies, again, from a valuation perspective, look kind of interesting. They really haven't moved too much yet, but I think if and when they do, that will be a sign that we're seeing that rotation, a more serious rotation, out of the tech winners into other parts of the market. We've seen it day or two here and there, but it has not really persisted for very, very long.
You were talking about unloading some of those stocks that did really well. I'm thinking tech, AI, some of the growth areas. Has AI finally run its course here? I know I've talked to our previous guests had mentioned this is a long, long-term play. But if you reel it back a little shorter term, has AI had a bit of its run here and still needs to kind of pull back?
You know, I think if you're going to use a blueprint, you'd be looking at the late 90s and 1990s and looking at the internet. And certainly the internet was transformative. AI, I think, will be transformative. The winners, though, in the internet weren't necessarily always the technology stocks. It was those that were able to use the internet to their advantage. And so I think AI is going to be one of those types of transformative technologies that's going to benefit companies, not necessarily tech. How do you use AI? So we might see it a lot more in the medical field. We're starting to see some of it in retail. We're seeing it in some areas and how it's being applied to benefit those companies, either in reduced cost, better delivery, et cetera. So it may not be just a tech play on AI. It's starting to look a little bit broader to see who could be a big winner and beneficiary of it. And I think certainly one of the easy places to look at is within healthcare in analysis of diagnoses and charts, et cetera, to come up with some of those solutions.
And then on the other side of the equation is there's a downside for some companies. And what comes to mind is I just saw today education companies really taking it to the chin because students are using AI instead.
It's true. And, you know, there's going to be, I think, some replacement, if you will. So if you take a look at McDonald's, or you look at a lot of fast food places, they're starting to put some of that AI into place. And there is pressure on the wage side. You know, we're talking about minimum wages picking up in some states. They're significantly higher than the national average. And so companies
California comes to mind, California, especially since you're bringing up fast food. Go ahead.
Exactly. So in California, just passed that law in the last week or two. So companies are not necessarily going to be, if they're going to deliver on services and they're going to do it at a relatively cheap price, wages are a huge component of it. And so they're going to be looking to replace that with technology, and AI being one of those technologies You go into a McDonald's today, it looks very different than it did 10 years ago. Fewer employees, more kiosks, and you'll see that more evident in the drive-up as well, where AI is going to be, I think, an integral part of a lot of drive-through fast food places.
What do you think is the number one threat to markets in the economy right now, Paul?
Persistently high inflation. I think the economy is slowing down from a very quick pace. We're starting to see at least a little bit of money coming off the table. There's some pushback on fiscal policy, monetary policy as well. Inflation, I think, is going to be the tough one to get from that 3% level down to 2%. That persistently higher inflation is going to keep interest rates, I think, where they are, maybe a little bit higher from here. That's going to provide some serious competition for equity investors over the next 6 to 12 months.
How does this all play out for the balance of 2024?
You know, it's going to be interesting because normally when you look at an election year, there is some weakness coming into November, October, November, and then you get strength starting post-election through the first year of the new new presidency.
And that's a key thing because it doesn't matter, historically, it doesn't matter who even wins. We see that markets often, just because we have resolution surrounding the U.S. presidential election, that's often a very, very good time for stocks, kind of, you know, pick up there.
Yeah, exactly. And so we would expect to see some weakness coming into the election. And that may be the correction that, you know, that many have talked about that may see the markets down 10 to 15%. And then during that summer months, early fall would probably be a good time to go shopping. And then we could see a little bit more of a rally later in the year. And at that point, too, we may see some better numbers coming from inflation. We may see an economy that has cooled some, and that may allow the Fed sometime either late this year or early next year, maybe do a cut and kind of see how things are going. But I think it's too soon to make that judgment that the cut is coming sooner. We think it's going to be later, and we might see markets lower during the summer months, early fall, heading into the election season.
Well, Paul, we've covered a lot of ground today. And so what's your final takeaway for the Gains listener?
I think really you want to move away from the equity markets. We've gotten some big gains there, certainly rebalancing portfolios, taking some of those profits off the table. I think a 60-40 mix is back in vogue after being out of favor, really, with a zero interest rate environment. Fixed income is not a bad place to be looking for the first time in a decade.
All right, outstanding. Always appreciate the analysis of Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy and Sylvest here in Chicago. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.